cares about this stupid election? We all know it doesn't matter who gets elected president of Carver. Do you really think it's going to change anything around here? Make one single person smarter or nicer? The only person it does matter to is the one that gets elected. The same pathetic charade happens every year, and everyone makes the same pathetic promises just so they can put it on their transcripts to get into college. So vote for me, because I don't even want to go to college, and I don't care. As president, I won't do anything. The only promise I will make is that, if elected, I will immediately dismantle the student government so that none of us has to sit through one of these stupid assemblies again. Or don't vote for me. Who cares? Don't vote at all.
And what I said was, I'm going to start out with a technical note that every voice actor needs to pay attention to. Do not clean or otherwise apply effects to your recordings. Let the mixer do that. Include a few seconds of silence to make that easier, but otherwise, leave your recordings alone. I see that, in a sense, this speech was a trap, and you fell into it. Tammy starts out by saying, who cares? And it is an easy inference that she doesn't care. Your recording reflects that, a who cares attitude. It fits the speech, but that is always a wrong choice when acting. If you sound as though you don't care, neither will your audience. So you need to make a choice that allows your character to care. Here's what I suggest. Make who cares angry. It's not so much that your character doesn't care, as much as that she is angry that people do care. She's angry about the whole election scene. She thinks it's nonsense and would like to make such a farce of it that nobody would ever take elections or student government seriously again. So this is an angry mocking speech. You can emphasize change anything and the only person and so on. Think of the hypocrisy. Candidates are making promises not because they expect to make changes, but because it will help them, not the kids duped into voting for them. If it helps, imagine that your character did once believe in these promises, too much, and was hurt. Imagine that you worked very hard on a campaign last year, only to have your candidate not only fail to change anything, but not even thank you. That will help the anger. And now let's listen to what she did as a result.
Who cares about this stupid election? We all know it doesn't matter who gets elected president of Carver. Do you really think it's going to change anything around here? Make one single person smarter or nicer? The only person who does matter to is the one that gets elected. The same pathetic charade happens every year, and everyone makes the same pathetic promises just so they can put it on their transcripts to get into college. So vote for me, because I don't even want to go to college, and I don't care. As president, I won't do anything. The only promise I will make is that if elected, I will immediately dismantle the student government so that none of us has to sit through one of these stupid assemblies again. Or don't vote for me. Who cares? Don't vote at all.
Go.
Okay, leave me alone. First of all, thank you. Thank you for the correction in the sound, in the lack of noise removal. That was beautiful. That was a wonderful change. And as an audio mixer, I really appreciate that. I can see why you did it in the original take, but yeah, you know, unless you've got really, really high-end equipment, and even then, unless the mixer asks for it, no sound removal. So, yay! First check mark. Good. Cool. The retake itself, the delivery, I think it was noticeably better than the first one. You definitely got out of the who cares lackadaisical attitude that the first take had. But I didn't hear the full influence of anger that I think Russ was asking for. Instead of full anger, I heard a lot of bitterness and, excuse my French, a lot of bitchiness. I think you took the note of the angry, mocking speech and kind of mocked the ideal or role that you were campaigning for, or maybe your past the past candidate you were campaigning for the previous year, but not the whole process itself. I think what Russ was kind of asking for, and stop me if I'm wrong, was more of the maybe not full revolutionary, but the independent who is so sick of the inefficiencies and all the ridiculousness that goes on in the government process, that she just wants to overhaul everything. And, you know, if she can undermine things and tear them apart, make a farce of it by making it all ridiculous, that's her goal. But I can tell you took the imagery that Russ gave you and definitely put that into play and used it in your retake. I just think you could have pushed it farther and get into the full conviction of anger and kind of stop short at the hurt and bitterness. Russ?
Well, you've covered a lot of the basic stuff that I was talking about. Certainly the technical stuff, yeah, that was much, much, much better. I actually liked your interpretation. It was, I realize, listening to Meredith's comments and looking over what I told you, there was a bit of ambiguity there. You could, yes, have taken it more revolutionary, but that wasn't actually what I had in my mind. I thought you did what I was looking for. You went from the lackadaisical to the angry. Yeah, you didn't do quite bomb throwing, but that wasn't necessary for this. It was just such an improvement that, again, if we were working together on this, it would be something that I could help you build on further. But you took a major step in reinterpreting the speech from your first take to the second. There are some things that you could have done. I like the way you did move a little bit to mocking at the end. And more importantly, the retake held my interest, which the first one didn't. So, far as improving as a result of direction, I think you did it. Okay, next up, we have 11 Linda.
He hates me! He hates me. I know he does! He looks at me like I'm the ugliest thing in the world! He doesn't like my friends. He doesn't like one thing about me. He calls me a dirty tramp. My own father. I don't know if he means it. I mean, maybe he doesn't mean it. But he acts like he does. We were together. We were gonna celebrate Easter. We were gonna catch a double bill. Big deal! So I put on my new dress and I came out. He grabbed my face and started rubbing off all the lipstick. I thought he was rubbing off my lips. And I ran out of that house. I'll never get close to anybody.
11 Linda. Good start. You've got a feeling for the piece. I think the biggest thing for this monologue is to clarify the emotions you're feeling. You tend to start and stop a lot of different emotions, so try reading it again and let the emotions blend into each other, one fading into the next, so to speak. I've got a few notes, so just bear with me. Some thoughts first. Try making this more organic, as if these thoughts had crossed your mind a few times in various orders, but it's only now that you've had a chance to voice them to someone who will listen. Next point. Have you ever had a moment where you're so mad or frustrated or upset that you start to rant or babble, and then sometime throughout that you make a realization about yourself or about the situation you're in? I feel this is what's happening in Judy's monologue. Her last statement of, "I'll never get close to anybody," is her realization after she hears herself listing off all this evidence leading up to it. Third point. Try being bitter or angry up to where you state, "He called me a dirty tramp."
The dash in the sentence in the script implies hesitation. Is Judy hesitating because she's embarrassed? Ashamed? Fourth point, again, remember to let your emotions blend, one affecting the beginning of the next. I also gave a lowdown of the notes I would give if I were the producer of an audio drama receiving these lines. So to start. 1. Not so freaking out at the beginning. Start as if a private conversation with your friend. Let anger, bitterness, sadness, shame build as you start talking. 2. Increase intensity of these feelings as you list off ugliest thing in the world, doesn't like my friends, not one thing about me. Each one of these things is another crack in the heartbreak your father has caused you, and listing them off provides fuel for your emotions. 3. Nice hesitation on, quote, he called me a dirty tramp, end quote. Go with that emotional acting instinct and give it some intensity. Here, make a decision of how you feel about that comment and show it in your voice. 4. I'd, quote, I don't know if he means it, dot, 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 acts like he does. In this section of your monologue, sound calm. Tweak it so it sounds filled with self-doubt and uncertainty. You sound positive and hopeful by the end of the statement. Take that out. Make it negative so as to keep building towards the end decision. 5. Describe the Easter outing. Same as the above notes. Less calm, more spite. Watch that, quote, big deal, matches emotional context of the section. 6. A note. A double bill is like a double feature. Think of seeing a movie and its sequel playing back-to-back in a movie theater, or two of the newest films released one after the other without interruption. 7. Why do you think he, that is the character's father, is rubbing off all the lipstick? 8. Love where you ended on the last line. Quote, I'll never get close to anybody. Unquote. Keep that. And have it.
He hates me. I know he does. He looks at me like I'm the ugliest thing in the world. He doesn't like my friends. He doesn't like one thing about me. He called me a dirty tramp. My own father. I don't know if he means it. He doesn't mean it, but he acts like he does. We were together. We were gonna celebrate Easter. We were gonna catch a double bill. Big deal. So I put on my new dress. And I came out. And he grabbed my face and started rubbing off on the lipstick. I thought he was going to rub off my lips. And I ran out of that house. I'll never get close to anybody.
Eleven Linda, your retake is so much more emotionally powerful than the first take. It's really, really impressive. I went through again the bullet points. It looks like you picked up everything she said. Most importantly, the whole bit about organic and the emotions flowing from one to another. You had intensity. You had the flow. You had the feeling. It's the kind of thing that it made me want to comfort you somehow. And unfortunately, most of the emotional impact was lost because you were so quiet I could barely hear you. And I couldn't turn up the volume because if I got turn up the volume, I got too much of the background noise too. I think this might have been a technical problem with your recording level. If you're going to go for that quiet intensity, and I love the way you did it, you have to make sure that your input volume is set so it's going to pick it up, because you've got this really wonderful performance that would be really tough for a mixer to use, I think. I don't know. Meredy would be able to clean it a lot better than I certainly could, but I don't know what can be done here. But, you know, I turned everything off so I could listen carefully because I really wanted to hear it. You did the nice starting. You increased your intensity. You kept, As Meredith asked you to, you kept the hesitation on the "he called me a dirty tramp." That's following direction is not just making changes. It's also keeping what works. The whole thing, you sounded so brittle, and it just really, really works for the piece. Meredith?
Yeah, as far as the technical stuff, I could have bumped the volume, but A, I was lazy, and B, I wanted to put the full, the original audio on there. I didn't notice as big of a problem with the audio. I mean,
maybe you have better ears than I do.
Maybe I do, Russ. There were times where you did get so low in volume that your words got a little muddled and it was hard to hear. The one place I noticed it was when you were saying, maybe he doesn't mean it, that one phrase, but he acts like he does, is the rest of the line. I could barely make it out, and I think it was more from the emotional state you were putting yourself in that you were just having a hard time saying it. But yeah, one of the reasons I did not bump the volume is because I noticed that some of your outbursts were very big waveforms. So I couldn't just do a general volume increase. I mean, I could, but I was mixing these at the last minute. That said though, I thought this was beautiful. With the critique, I actually expected you to get wild and moody. I know a few times I mentioned, anger and stubbornness and being upset, but you took it to this very fragile, heartbroken place, which I think was so much better. And it was, I thought it was really good.
And I would just add, by the way, last couple, the primary emotion was anger. And anger is actually, for all, that's nothing to take anything away from what they did, but anger is actually an easier emotion to play than this, excuse me, than this fragility that you just did. So I just have to add that much more how much I'm impressed with this performance.
Yeah. It was, dare I say, it was very real.
Yes.
I thought. So, nice job.